You're listening to Thunder Quack Podcast Network.
You guys! Scrooge just got a new security bot and it can melt through solid steel and it is adorable! Wait, where are Huey and Louie?
Who?
Your brothers?
Webby, I don't have brothers. I'm an only child.
Don't be ridiculous. Oh, no. We must be in some sort of dystopian alternate dimension.
Calm down. Everything is fine.
Exactly what an evil Dewey doppelganger would say!
Hello and welcome back to Cartoon Afternoon for DuckTales Season 1, Episode 16, The Day of the Only Child. I'm one of your hosts, Michael Cohen.
And I am your other host, Curtis Findlay.
And we're back. Our last episode was a little late. We apologize for that.
This one might be a little late, too.
Yeah, I was on vacation. Curtis was busy, so
it's the beginning of summer break, and when you have three kids, it's just kind of crazy.
Yeah, so but we're here. We're ready to talk the next round of episodes as well as the Day of the Only Child. It's so funny because we said on the last episode, it's like, oh, you know, as soon as we're done, sort of thing. We'd
get the email.
Yeah, and then literally the next day.
And so our episode coming out late made it seem like we were out of touch.
Yeah. Very funny. But we do have the descriptions for the next few episodes, but we've got some other news to talk about as well. What did you want to start with?
Well, why don't we start with the episode descriptions?
Sure.
So let's see here. The next episode to coming out this week is called From the Confidential Case Files of Agent 22.
I'm very excited about this one.
Yeah, the description is Webby learns how Scrooge and Mrs. Beakley first met while she helps Scrooge rescue her granny from the clutches of a rival spy, Black Heron. And you put a clip of this show. They released a preview clip of this show and we put it on our Facebook page. And it's exciting. Can we spoil the little... Well, I mean, it's spoiled because they had the little preview clip.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's good.
There are gummy bears in this episode.
Yeah. Not only are there gummy bears, but there's a reference to Fowl being the bad guys from Darkwing Duck. And that leads me to believe that Agent 22 is Mrs. Beakley and that she is working for Hush. So that's super exciting for Darkwing Duck fans, I think. to have all of that connected in there. But it looks like it's going to take place actually in the past, like it's a flashback episode sort of. And everything's period and it's very exciting. It's very James Bond.
It's going to be great.
I'm really, really excited about that episode.
And then the following episode that's coming out July 14th is called Who is Gizmo Duck? And the description here is, as Fenton figures out how to be a hero, Mark Beeks offers to hire Gizmo Duck and help him defend all of Duckburg.
Again, another episode to be very excited about.
Yeah, I know.
A big Gizmo Duck episode. We got the origin in the last time that he showed up, where the buddy system, this one will be, I think, a little bit more of Gizmo Duck actually in action.
And then on July the 21st, the other bin of Scrooge McDuck. Lena's loyalties are tested when Magica forces her to lead Webby on a raid to a facility full of Scrooge's most dangerous artifacts to find his number one dime. So
yeah.
It's three in a row that are going to be super, super good here.
Well, and then what's the last one that we've
got?
Oh,
man,
the
last one, it doesn't have a... They haven't listed a release date for this one yet, or an air date for this. Sky Pirates in the Sky.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling ignored, Dewey finds a new family, a band of singing and dancing pirates looking to rob Scrooge blind.
And we've seen I when they did the Disney Channel switch from Disney XD to Disney Channel, there was a little promo, and in one of those promo clips, we saw Don Carnage. So
yes.
We expect that this is the episode that we're going to see that in. Yeah, man. So before we jump into the rest of the news and everything, let's just talk about the fact that they are creating a basically a Disney afternoon shared universe.
Yeah.
By already having Darkwing show up, by referencing the gummy bears, and by obviously bringing in Don Carnage. You're bridging four different shows.
We also had a mention of Spoonerville in the very first episode.
And we did have that mention of Spoonerville as well, so there's Goof Troop for you. So,
out of all of the classic Disney afternoon shows, the only one we haven't heard from yet is Rescue Rangers.
Yes. And you know what? I don't think that we will, because Rescue Rangers has humans in it, right? So I think that Rescue Rangers is kind of reserved, and because honestly, if it was going to be connected, I think we would have seen something by now.
Well, I don't know. They got to save something for season two, right?
Yeah, but I think that they would have led with Darkwing and Rescue Rangers. I think that Rescue Rangers is billed higher than Tailspin, in my opinion. But
yeah, I think so too.
But I do
we'll,
think
we'll see.
The thing with Rescue Rangers is that I'm fairly certain that they're still developing a live action Rescue Rangers movie. So that to me is like, okay, they're not going to pull that into this, because they've kind of put those eggs in a different basket. But the fact that they're taking all of these adventure shows, and Goof Troop, and they're actually kind of tying them together into a shared universe is very interesting, because it's very much the MCU model, but with Disney afternoon characters. And I'm excited. I'm excited to see how far they're going to take some of this stuff. I think that they're definitely testing the waters this season, but if the way that Darkwing was received, and if our download numbers reflect the ratings, then that episode, just having, what is it? It's like 5 minutes of Darkwing. I don't even know if it's that. It's probably generous.
It also had Gizmo Duck.
But having Darkwing featured was definitely a bump. And hopefully Gizmo Duck is a bump as well. But
we'll see in the next, when the next Gizmo Duck episode comes, that maybe it won't have Darkwing. I'm guessing it won't have Darkwing in it. So we'll see how the numbers do on that one there.
Yeah. Can you just imagine when we get to the episode where Darkwing is heavily featured?
Oh man.
My goodness. Cool. Well,
If it's going to be in the season, we're coming up to the end, because I think we've got these episodes have aired, there are three more episodes in the season. One of them is the two-part finale. So if that Darkwing episode is coming up, it's going to be the one that happens.
It'll
after
be in the last batch.
The Sky Pirates episode.
And you know, we did get that bit of Jim Cummings sort of spoiling the character, and it sounded like what he talked about is obviously what the character is, which is a superhero on television in the universe of DuckTales. But he talked about a storyline in which the actor has to then kind of be a bit of a hero as well. And so that episode, I think, is in production. Whether it is in season one or it's something from season two is yet to be seen. But he talked about that a long time ago.
But he had already recorded the lines for it, I think, if I remember that conversation.
He had already recorded the lines. So
Means it's got to be in this season.
I would think so. I mean, like, sometimes they're recording as far as a year out, right? But
at that point, DuckTales hadn't been renewed for a second season yet.
That's true. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I guess because the show hadn't even premiered yet, had it?
Yeah.
So I think we may be looking at another break because we don't have a date for Sky Pirates. But I think like even after Sky Pirates, I think when that gets a date, that we'll probably have another break of a couple of weeks, at least a week or 2 weeks, and then come back and then have the finale. And it kind of depends on where season two is at and how far out that is. But Disney Channel is very weird with the way that they air stuff. So not very conventional, being that we are in July and we're getting another 3 or 4 episodes. But yeah. Lots and lots to look forward to with DuckTales, a batch of really solid episodes. This episode, maybe not as solid, but we'll get to that in a minute. We have a couple more news stories, right?
Yeah. So let's see. What should we tackle first? I think we can talk about a little bit of merch.
Yeah.
There are Tailspin Funkos coming out, people.
Yes. Funko Pops specifically.
Funko Pops, yes. Yeah. And this just adds to the growing list of Disney Afternoon Pops. We had first the Darkwing set, then the DuckTales set, and then there's a Gargoyle set. Now there is a Tailspin set. And I'm thrilled because Tailspin doesn't get very much merch ever. So.
Oh, yeah, even less than Darkwing. Darkwing at least got an entire action figure line, right?
Yeah, well, so did Tailspin, actually.
Did it?
But
okay.
It wasn't very well promoted or well known, but it was there. So, but it's great to see these properties coming back and kind of being pushed into the forefront of people's mind, especially because Funko Pops are like the toy of the moment right now. So
they are
anything that gets a bump from Funko Pop is a good thing.
Now, so with the Darkwing ones, you've got all of the Darkwing ones, right?
Okay, here's the thing. I actually don't really like the Funko Pops.
Yeah.
I've tried to stop collecting figures because they take up too much space.
Yeah.
I did buy all the Darkwing Duck ones. I bought Scrooge, and then you got me a Gizmo Duck recently, which was nice. Thank you very much for that. And I didn't want to buy the Nephews and Webby just because they didn't look great to me. But I might have to, and I haven't gotten any of the Gargoyles ones. But I can't get all these. There's just too many.
It just becomes too much. Yeah,
it just becomes too much. And I have so many books in my house that I think my wife especially would be like, stop buying toys.
I don't know with the Tailspin ones, I'm tempted because they look really good, but I
want to support the lesser known characters too.
Well, and the biggest thing is I want them to know that I'm into the show, right? Like I would love them to do for Tailspin what they've done for DuckTales, right?
Yes.
So it's like you want to support on that level, but then at the same time it's like I don't really like Funko Pops particularly. I think that the Darkwing ones and I think all the DuckTales ones and most of the Disney ones for the, like the anthropomorphic characters, they've turned out okay.
They turned out okay. I think the human ones.
Darkwing is actually like really, really good. I think that they did a great job on that sculpt, like his cape and sort of his pose and everything, as well as the Gizmo Duck. I think that they really nailed it with those two.
Those two are different because you don't get the big dot, the black dot eyes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're hiding behind masks, both of them. And that's what sets the Funkos. Like that's their signature, right?
Yeah. Man, is there a Shere Khan?
Yes.
Okay, so if there's a Shere Khan, I might have to get Shere Khan. We posted them on the Facebook page, right?
Yeah. There's Baloo, Kit, Cloud Kicker, Shere Khan, Louie, Rebecca Cunningham, and I can't remember if Don Carnage is one of them.
Oh, yeah, that Shere Khan is pretty nice. I might have to get that. Baloo looks pretty good, too. And obviously, Kit, Cloud Kicker, one of the coolest characters of the 90s, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But I, like, the thing that I love the most about both Tailspin and The Jungle Book, which the characters in Tailspin are very heavily inspired by Jungle Book, is Shere Khan. He's my favorite character from, and like almost every incarnation of The Jungle Book, especially the Idris Elba one from the live action Jungle Book from a couple years ago. Yeah. I don't know what it is about that character, but he's just such a great villain. He's one of my all time favorites. And I like to think of him as the Shere Khan in Tailspin as a kind of cousin to the King Richard in Robin Hood, sort of like a distant relative, an ancestor sort of situation, because they're almost the same, except that one is actually terrifying and the other one just thinks that he is and is actually a bit of an adult. Yeah, let's use that word.
There's recently this thing going around where people are posting their Disney 4.
Okay.
Have you seen that? Where you post your 4 favorite Disney characters.
Yeah.
Shere Khan would be your top, one of your tops?
That's tough. I got to go through a whole list.
Darkwing would, for sure.
Darkwing is definitely my number one. Oswald is high up there.
I
think so. Because I do think that, like, Shere Khan, especially from the original Jungle Book, is one of my favorite villains. So if I'm on the spot and I don't have a lot of time to think about it, I think my top 4 would probably be Darkwing, Oswald, Tarzan from the animated Tarzan movie, and then Shere Khan, because I got to get a villain in there. I think that's a pretty solid top 4.
That is, yeah.
Yeah, how about you? I'll put you on the spot. You put me on the spot like that.
Okay. Oh boy. Well, I think I'd probably say 1930s Mickey Mouse.
Okay.
Would be top. That's a very specific Mickey Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
I might also put Oswald up there. All of my characters are going to be super old. Scrooge McDuck, I think, would probably be up there as well. And, oh gosh, what's my 4th one? I don't even know. It put me on the spot. I can't answer that right
See,
now.
I'll have to, the great thing about my 4 is that I've got one from sort of each major era of Disney, right? Because there's Oswald, who's not technically Disney in his original incarnation, but obviously created by Walt Disney. And then next in line, or next chronologically, would be Shere Khan from that era of the Disney animated movies.
From the 60s, yeah.
Yeah, and then you get to Darkwing, which is the 90s.
Yep.
And then you get to Tarzan, which is the 2000s. Yeah. Technically 99, but...
close enough.
That same era, right? That era of, like, Tarzan, Treasure Planet, Mulan, that whole thing. But, yeah.
Okay, so next week, I'm going to think about it. And next week, ask me about my actual answer is going to be.
All right, I will do that. Okay. There's more merch as well. There's lots of stuff showing up in the Disney store, right?
Yeah, so I was there today. And I haven't been in the Disney store for a long time. But I saw the set. You know how Disney always releases their set of little, I don't know, 6-inch figures or so that for every movie and TV show that comes out? Well, they have their DuckTales set, and the sculpts look really, really nice on them.
Yeah.
They put a lot of attention. And we bought the Moana set when we were in Disney World. And they're just nice looking figures. So I might pick up the Dark. I'd be more inclined to pick up the Darkwing, or sorry, the DuckTales set of these figures than the Tailspin pops. So that's probably what I'll do.
Well,
and then go ahead.
The Disney store figures, they're not posable. They're just kind of little mini statuette kind of guys.
Yeah, that's right.
But they're very playable for kids.
They are.
They have that good quality to them, and I mean that's obviously what they're going for. But they're also, when they do a good sculpt, the Star Wars ones are always terrible, just god awful.
Oh no! Okay.
But yeah, I've seen pictures. I haven't seen them in person yet. I was just at the Disney store yesterday, actually, looking and didn't see them.
Oh,
but,
really?
Okay. Yeah, I was at the one downtown. You were probably at Metrotown, I'm guessing.
I was at Metrotown, yeah.
We have three Disney stores in Metro Vancouver, and the Metrotown one is probably the best.
And they had DuckTales shirts for kids, t-shirts, and they had plushies and stuff. So
The shirt's been around for a while, and then the plushies have been around for a little while as well. But yeah, the thing with the plushies is that, you know, it's the triplets and Webby, and as much as I just want Louie, you can't just buy one. You have to buy all four of them, and that adds up. So here's the deal.
Yeah, we see in this episode today what happens when you only have one.
Exactly. You gotta wait for Disney Store to have sales, because they have the twice upon a year sale, which is like their two big ones. But then
that's
going
on right now, actually.
Yeah. They'll do like a back to school sale, and they'll do up here a Boxing Day sale, down in the States usually a Black Friday. Well, I guess we get the Black Friday as well, right? It's so much better being Canadian. We get Black Friday now, and we also get Boxing Day. There's two opportunities to go out and spend a bunch of money on yourself.
And neither of them are nearly as crazy as they get in the United States.
And that's the other great part, is that like the deals here are just as good. Like maybe not as ridiculously good, but those ridiculously good ones are always a bit of a trick. It's like, get this Insignia Walmart brand TV for $100. Well, I don't want that piece of junk. But we don't have to deal with the insanity of a Target opening at midnight and everybody killing each other for it. And also, our Thanksgiving in October. The beginning of October. So it's like, I see people online and they have their Thanksgiving dinner, and then they leave Thanksgiving dinner at 7 o'clock and they go line up for Black Friday stuff. And I'm like, it's a terrible way to spend your Thanksgiving.
yeah.
So I, is there anything left to talk about before we jump into the episode?
Okay. So I found a picture online of a launch pad action figure that's coming out.
Yes, you sent me this, and it looks fantastic.
Doesn't it, though? It's so great. So it's by a company called Fat Mojo.
Okay.
And they, I think at a recent toy fair or something like that, they showed off the whole line, which is going to include Scrooge, the nephews, and Webby as well.
Nice.
But they look, they're articulated.
Yeah.
Sort of. Launchpad's elbow joints are not. Just his arms, his waist, and maybe his neck. And his legs kind of move back and forth, but so not terribly articulated, but it still looks really, really nice. And I have no idea when these are going on sale. Some people say it's going to be this month, but there's been no promo or anything like that, and I don't even know where you buy toys in the States anymore if Toys R Us is gone, so who knows?
Walmart and Target.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, keep your eyes open. If anyone sees them in stores, let us know. Take a picture. Share it on our Facebook page because we would really be interested in seeing what the other figures look like but closer up and that they're available. Yeah, let us know.
Yeah, and buy them. Buy the whole set. Buy two. Buy one to open and one to collect. And I'm saying that because I want these to do really, really well so that they do a wave two that has Gizmo Duck and Darkwing in it, please.
And Mrs. Beakley.
And Mrs. Beakley, yeah. Because the quality on them looks great. Now, they're prototypes, and production usually isn't quite as nice as prototype as what they show off at something like a toy fair. But, the launch pad looks fantastic, so... Should we jump into the episode?
We definitely should.
Okay.
Yes.
Here's the description. When Dewey invents a holiday that allows the triplets to be only children for a day, each realizes they need their brothers more than they thought. The episode originally aired on June 30th, 2018. It's written by Bob Snow and directed by Tanner Johnson and Dana Terrace.
Is this the first time An episode has been directed by two people?
A co-directed episode? That's interesting. There's a lot of locations in this episode. So I assume that different sequences were probably directed by different people.
That's a good guess, yeah, for sure.
And there's a sequence in particular that kind of has its own vibe to it that maybe required another director. But I think we're both going to talk a little bit about that one. But let's start... you and I think we're agreed on our first point here, our first top three moment.
Yes.
Which was, the episode's kind of broken into three sequences, and then it sort of starts bookended, I guess. It starts and finishes with all the triplets and Webby together. But, they obviously break off to each have their own, only child day. And so the first sequence is Huey. And at first you think, okay, Huey's going to go and he's going to he's going on a Junior Woodchuck Chuck's camping trip, and they're going to have a chili cook-off or something. And
barbecue of some sort.
Yeah, and at first I'm thinking like, "Oh, he's going to have to do this by himself while everybody else is working on a team. It's going to make him sad." But he gets there, and first off, Launchpad is his whatever, like their troop leader, which is
great.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
And he was in the original show as well.
Oh, was he? Okay.
Yeah.
That's a tidbit that I have forgotten. But yeah, it's so great. He's got the hat and everything, and he's the only adult around seemingly, but he's still Launchpad, and he's horribly setting up a tent and being Launchpad about it. But Huey needs a team. He needs to be part of a team, otherwise he can't participate and he won't get his badge. So Q, of course, obviously the Beagle Boys. And two out of the three Beagle Boys, the standard three Beagle Boys, end up teaming up with Huey, and it leads to some pretty memorable moments with them that I really enjoyed, of them doing everything wrong to try and kidnap Huey, but Huey teaching them how to do it properly, and then they end up bonding, and they end up actually really really liking Huey and appreciating the way that he treats them, and not appreciating the way that which one's the obnoxious Beagle Boy that's being mean to the other?
Oh,
two.
Big time,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed it. It was some good slapstick. It was really it was really well paced. But I don't know.
I especially liked the scene the sequence where you know, they build a trap and it's not good, and then Louis builds a trap and then it is good, it functions properly, and then Big Time gets caught in the trap, and they kind of repeat that joke a few times.
Well
paced, well thought out, and I think this really shows I like that the Beagle Boys they're not actually bad guys. They're just they're just kind of following orders and don't really know what they're getting involved in.
I it's really just Mob Eagle that's the problem.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're all just kind of trying to follow her orders, and who wouldn't? She's kind of terrifying, right?
And she's also family, and it's they have a family thing going on there.
Cool. What's your next one?
Okay, so I wanted to try and pick a top moment in each of the brothers' sequences. Okay, I absolutely loved Doofus. This was the first time we've seen Doofus in the show. And of course, Doofus Drake, a character from the original show, he's completely, completely different in this version of him. He's not the cheerful, bubbly, Junior Woodchuck, you know, best friend kind of character anymore. He's spoiled. He's incredibly rich.
Yeah,
and he acts like a large baby a lot of the time. And but like, he has extreme moments. He says, he just yells, and I don't know, I don't even know how to describe him, but I thought it was really really funny. Now, he's been described already online as quote unquote creepy doofus, which I can understand. He definitely Absolutely. Has that air of creepiness to him. But I'm glad that they went in a different direction.
Yeah.
Because the very kind of 1980s Saturday morning character that Doofus was before may not fit properly in modern day TV watching. I don't know, TV animation.
Yeah.
They've kind of stripped away all of the goodness and just kept the part of Doofus that is obsessive, because that's something that Doofus always has been. He gets one idea in his mind and just kind of gets obsessed about it. And in this episode, Doofus is obsessed with friends and being friends with people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just really funny when he gives Louis the bracelet, and then they have this little montage of them having fun.
Yeah.
It was great. Now, I really want to see in the future, in the original show, Doofus is Launchpad's number one fan.
Okay.
He absolutely loves Launchpad and wants to be Launchpad's best friend. So given their both of those characters' new personalities, I think that they should explore that, because I think it'd be really, really funny.
Yeah, that could be pretty good, especially because of how
Launchpad
much...
Launchpad already has a best friend.
Yeah, like Launchpad's so obsessed, right? Like he's like, yeah. You're my best friend, right? And he's like, oh no, my best friend. Yeah, like that whole aspect, and then having Doofus come in and interfere with that could be pretty good. That could be a good time.
I think so.
Cool. Yeah, I didn't particularly like the middle sequence that much. I don't know. I felt that Louis didn't really have very many good jokes himself. He was definitely like the victim of a lot of Doofus's weirdness and creepiness. But he didn't. I don't really feel like he particularly had any good jokes in that sequence. But I absolutely loved Dewey's whole talk show thing from like the second that it starts, him running back and forth, all of the great references to great late night talk shows, him I flipping back and forth between being the host as well as the band leader, and the great. Oh my God, the way that they captured the awkwardness of Paul Schaefer was just so good. I'm a huge David Letterman fan. Like, I loved that era of The Late Show. Yeah. And it is probably one of the things that's off the air that I miss the most is Dave Letterman and Paul Schaefer and their rapport and the back and forth and the way that like he just like set him up for the jokes and knocked him down, and they actually managed to kind of capture that in a really comedic, satirical like bad way. Like it's like Dewey's not doing a very good job. It's not a good late night show, but you know exactly what they're going for, and that it was very, very heavily. There was stuff from kind of everything. There was a little bit of like a Conan thing as well when he kind of did his little dance over to the desk and stuff. But like so, there were all of these inspirations. But I think that the heaviest inspiration was that David Letterman, Paul Schaefer.
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
dynamic. And it just, I loved it. It was so great. And then he starts bringing out the guests. And yeah, I'll let you take it from there.
That segues into my third top moment here, which is Robot Huey and Lampshade Louie. I love that Dewey, even though he really wanted to have his own day, he still had to insert his brothers into there, and he created his own versions and had them as special guests on his show. There's a Pixar short called Jerry's Game that aired before A Bug's Life. Have you seen that before? Is it about this old man who's playing chess?
Yes.
With himself. Like he moves one piece and then slowly walks over to the other side of the board and moves another piece and goes back around, and then throughout that whole short the editing gets faster and faster and faster, so you then by the end of it they're cutting out all of the walking around the table part, so it looks like he's just playing himself.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually two of him, and is brilliant editing, and they do a lot of that in this segment as well. They start off showing Louis running from his desk over to the band pit, but then the editing gets faster and faster, so it looks like Louis is actually in two different, or even three different spots, interacting with himself. I thought it was really well done.
Yeah, they did such a great job with all of that, and intentionally making it seem like bad edits, where you like see a little bit of his arm as he leaves or enters the frame or whatever. Like you,
right?
Can't,
no, it, that's the yeah, and that's the faster. Like they slowly show less and less of him running in every shot that happens as that segment goes through.
Cool. And then my last of my top three moments is after the robot goes haywire and starts attacking Dewey, and he's hiding in the closet, and he's got Lampshade Louis, and he's also got Robot Huey, and he's saying to Robot Huey, he's like, "Come on, Huey, you gotta have a plan, right?" And then and then Robot Huey replies, "Sorry, I'm technically you, and as you don't have a plan, I clearly also do not have a plan." And it's just like it's just a really weird moment where you're like, "Is Dewey a little bit delusional here? Is he actually kind of talking to himself a little bit?" It goes from being like a funny bit to a like, "Is there something actually wrong with him?" And I thought that was such a great gag. That he actually asks Huey for help. But it also, like, it ties into the overall theme, right, of them needing each other.
Yeah.
And the things that annoy each other about one another are actually the things that they rely on, right? So
I felt that aspect of the show actually wasn't really well done.
Okay.
Because, I mean, you get it through Louis, but you don't get that as much through the other two. The only reason Huey needed extra people is because the activity that he was doing required two extra people. But
sure,
he managed to do that without his brothers. And Louis is a lone wolf anyway. He often will go off and do things by himself and be self-sufficient and get himself in trouble. And this was just another one of those things. So I think that the point that they were trying to make actually was, except for the fact that Dewey was the one who instigated the holiday in the first place, and he is the one that realized at the end that he needed his brothers. I think that was it.
Yeah. I guess so. I guess that's and would they all kind of come together at the end and
right out of just coincidence though.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Coincidence or destiny? I don't know. I mean, like, I think that it was a little bit contrived. I don't know. The second that they went, "Oh, we're all gonna go split off and have our own days," you knew that the end of the episode was them all realizing that actually do want to be around each other all the time. But I thought one of the cool points that the episode made is that they really focused in universe on the fact that each of the three of them is an individual character. And I think that there was a little bit of a meta commentary there on this version of Huey, Dewey, and Louie, and pointing out, like, it's better that they're all different and not just carbon copies of one another, to the point of, like, you know, talking at the same time, which was a really common gag in the original DuckTales and the original Scrooge McDuck comics, right?
Absolutely,
where they'd have one word bubble with three tails going to each of the triplets, or they'd be finishing each other's sentences or whatever. I don't know how much I enjoyed this episode, because it was kind of hot and cold for me, but there were definitely some great moments in it. But coming off of the last few weeks, it's like, yeah, we've had some really, really, really good episodes, just really well written stuff. Like Jaws was just such a well written, concise, perfectly crafted episode, and then this one's a little bit all over the map. Like, there's some moments where it's like, that's fun, and then there's other moments where you're like, it's kind of a obnoxious and annoying. And it just kind of ran the gamut for me, but
it was a hodgepodge of stuff, yeah, that's for sure. But that's what you get when you have one of these episodes that has three absolutely different segments in it.
Yeah. Cool. Well, any behind the scenes stuff?
The only thing that I wanted to point out, and I'm sure other people notice this too, is that the security bot has DT87 written on it, and that's consistent with the other security system we saw in which episode was that? McMystery.
McMystery, yeah.
DT27 it was the name of the security system there too, and that's just DuckTales. It premiered in 1987.
Okay. Cool. I guess let's check in with our junior woodchucks and see what they thought of this episode.
Welcome to the Junior Woodchucks podcast. My name is Milo.
My name is Peter.
Today we're going to talk about the episode called The Day of the Only Child. Peter, what was your favorite part?
My favorite part was when they all had their own things to do, because it's only child day.
My favorite part was when Louie and Doofus were wrecking everything in the house.
I guess he's a doofus. Get it? Ba-ching. From 5 to 0 lucky coins, I would rate this one 4 lucky coins.
I would say 3 lucky coins.
Good answer. The funniest part in the episode for me is when everyone came crashing into Doofus's house.
Mine too.
Who's your favorite one of all the three triplets?
Huey.
I'd say... I would say Dewey.
Louie, actually.
Dewey. Oh yeah, I forgot to tell you what Dewey does. Dewey the Night. It's kind of weird, actually. None of his brothers are supposed to know it. It's actually really, really weird. So, I don't know what to do now. I think we should just sign out, Milo? Uh-huh. And just go to bed?
We're signing out and going to bed. Bye.
Baka baka baka.
Okay, what do you rate this one out of 5?
You know, I don't know what my lowest rating is so far, so I don't know. Probably my lowest rating is probably like 2.5. I would say. I think that this is probably around that as well. I think I'm gonna go with 2.5.
Wow,
25 cents.
I'm gonna give it a 3.
Okay,
halfway. Just because the point I think kind of got a little bit lost, but enjoyed. I especially like Doofus. I think I'm going to be in the minority here, but I think that he was great, and I like this version of him. Lots of potential for some wacky animation, and just offbeat humor that we won't get out of any of the other characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. He's a fun character introduced, but I don't know. There's a few things like with the Beagle Boys, with Doofus, where they kind of just labored the point a little bit for me. It was a little bit, I don't know. It kind of dragged in places. But cool. Let's update our episode rankings. What's the current situation?
Sure. Beware the Buddy System hangs in with getting 45% of the votes this week.
Okay.
So that's good. Golden Lagoon got came in second place. Jaws is hanging in there with 13%, and coming in last is McMystery at McDuck McManor with 6%. So that one's getting the boot this week, and we'll insert this one, Day of the Only Child. The Twitter poll is already active online, so
okay.
Cast your vote today.
Cool. Well, The next episode we already talked a little bit about from the confidential case files of Agent 22. Webby learns how Scrooge and Mrs. Beakley first met while she helps Scrooge rescue her granny from the clutches of rival spy Black Heron. So that's an awesome episode to look forward to. Very excited about it, learning all about Hush and Fowl and the backstory of Mrs. Beakley. And maybe a slightly younger and more brash Scrooge McDuck as well. So cool. That's going to be the next episode, but that does it for this episode, right?
Yeah, that's all for us in this episode.
Cool. Well, we will see you guys on the next one.
See you next afternoon.